This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
We need you now. One generous Marketplace fan, Dr. Joe Rush from Florida, is offering to match the next $50,000 in donations to Marketplace. And every single gift gets us closer to a critically important May fundraising goal. Give right now and double your impact thanks to this generous match. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
Green is good, but one oil giant says we're going to stick to the black stuff. Hello, I'm Leanna Byrne, and you're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report live from the BBC World Service. Thanks for joining us this morning. Now, the company I'm talking about is the global company Shell. Their boss has told the BBC it won't be rolling back on its oil and gas production anytime soon before greener alternatives are available. CEO Wael Swan was interviewed by the BBC's business editor, Simon Jack.
I think what would be dangerous and irresponsible is actually cutting out the oil and gas production so that the cost of living, as we saw just last year, starts to shoot up again. Not to mention the fact that many countries last year, countries like Bangladesh, countries like Pakistan, because Europe could afford to import LNG, they took away that LNG from those countries, and children had to work or to study on the light of candles. I think if we're going to have a transition, it needs to be a just transition that doesn't work for one part of the world, but needs to be a globally responsible transition. And therefore, the voices of all countries need to count, not the voices of the few.
Yeah, it sounds like you're saying we need to be realistic that how dependent we still are on oil and gas. You're going to keep investing to keep that supply coming. That sounds to some people like a council of despair when it comes to the climate.
My message would actually be we have made a lot of progress. The world has made a lot of progress over recent years. But we still have a mountain to climb to be able to get to where we need to get to.
You talk about a ruthless focus on performance, financial performance, discipline and simplification. Some would say that's a ruthless focus on making money out of oil and gas. Your priorities are all wrong.
We need to be unemotional in the way we drive our businesses as a company. And what we choose to invest in is where the world is in terms of its energy demands. And when the world's energy demands continue to evolve, we will continue to evolve with it. And I think we are already a few steps ahead of many.
And you gave your capital markets day in New York. Would New York feel like a better home for a company like Shell?
The welcome we had there was exemplary. The Shell flag waving next to the NYSE flag, the very warm welcome. And we'll see where the world takes us in the coming years.
But you wouldn't rule out moving your listing to the US?
I think it would be irresponsible to rule out anything.
Well, Swan, CEO of Shell there. Now, let's do the numbers. Asian Pacific stocks are down after the Fed suggested it's going to continue raising the interest rate. Hong Kong's Hang Seng fell by 3%. Japan's TOPIX and Australia's S&P ASX shed just over 1%. A few hours ago, the US Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen landed in China for a visit aimed at easing tensions and restoring ties between the two countries. So what will both sides be hoping to get from the meeting? The BBC's Rupert Wingfield Hayes explains.
Beijing wants the US to lift trade tariffs imposed on China by the Trump administration. Washington wants China to re-engage on a host of issues, from military-to-military talks to fighting climate change. But no one expects any of those issues to be resolved during this three-day trip. Instead, Janet Yellen will attempt to reassure her hosts the US government is not set on a dramatic decoupling from the Chinese economy. She'll tell them recent restrictions on the export to China of things like advanced microchips are a matter of the US protecting its own national security.
Rupert Wingfield Hayes with that report. France's President Emmanuel Macron has announced a bill to help repair the damage caused by the worst rioting the country has seen for two decades. It follows the fatal police shooting of a French-Algerian teenager. Last week's riots have exposed deep divisions in French society and a huge gap in opportunities. The BBC's correspondent Jenny Hill is in Marseille telling a tale of two cities.
In a divided country, a city of two halves. Marseille's port is bright, bustling, cosmopolitan. Yachts gleam on the turquoise water. But come to the northern districts, where tower blocks rise scruffily into the sky, and no one's surprised that riots broke out. These neighbourhoods are notorious, deprived and dangerous.
Excusez-moi l'expression, c'est une poubelle.
It's like living in a bin, Mardo tells us. It's not safe. For the politicians, she says, we are nothing. We are really nothing.
Les plus jeunes,
Omar tells us, young people here struggle to find a job or training. And for many, drug dealing is a seductive choice. But it got Amin Kasachi's brother killed.
This is the only solution the young people have. There are no companies coming here and saying we'll pay you more than minimum wage. Here people are supermarket cashiers or cleaners or security guards. We can't be judges, lawyers or accountants.
And President Macron knows it. He was here just before the riots, greeted by crowds and cameras to refresh his promise made 2 years ago to fix Marseille. More money, more support. But Amin's now met him twice and lost faith.
When Macron comes, he comes to make announcements, not to listen to us. We are always in the same mess, the same misery, and nothing will change. I don't justify the violence, but I understand it.
And even the mayor of Marseille, Benoît Payan, acknowledges he needs to bring his city together.
For too long, my town has been divided between people who are poor and people who are not, between those who are considered by the public authorities and those who are not.
It's supposed to be a fundamental French value. But here, égalité, equality, is now an ambition.
Jenny Hill reporting. And finally, Japan Airlines is doing a bit of an experiment and it's offering the ultimate chance to travel light. All you have to do is you pack your underwear and toothbrush, but you rent all your clothes on arrival and ditch the environmentally unfriendly suitcase. Although, I don't know, what if they didn't get my size right? And that's it from the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. Thanks to Ollie Dalbert-Tanzen for producing. And I'm Leanna Byrne. Thanks for listening.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.